think
this conference will...
A 17-page outline, that's a little much, right? What do you think? Pretty much, huh? That's a lot of documentation out there, and hopefully it all came in order for you. Mine's a little bit out of order, but maybe it's just Lydia stapling it versus what it is. But let's jump in and start talking about those 100 customers in 100 days. And one of the beautiful things about Kim Claver's book was she kept telling people, I know this is really going to shock your system, but why the heck are you going after business builders when 97% of people want to, you know, just be customers? And, you know... If I would have read this 6 months ago, I would have kind of probably not finished it. And that's probably one of the reasons why I never did read Kim Claver's 100 Customers in 100 Days, because I was never looking for customers. I mean, and there are a lot of us out there in the field that can relate to that. There are a lot of people out in the field that are going, Mary Jo, you've been missing the boat all along. You know, and obviously a lot of Manatechers read this book because they interviewed a lot of Manatechers for the book. There are probably at least a dozen different Manatechers that were quoted throughout Kim Claver's book, as well as other people in different network marketing companies. But Manatech surely got their fair share of interviews. But the incredible thing is she kept, and even at the end of the book, she said, I know this really has shocked a lot of your systems that I'm saying don't go after business builders, go after consumers. But in reality, and every time she would say something like that, I would go, no, Kim, that's exactly where we are today. I mean, that is exactly where we are today. I even did a three-way call with somebody, a reactivation call with somebody that used to do Manatech in the past and as a business. And she just didn't want to believe me. She goes, no, Mary Jo, are you telling me that I'm supposed to just find, obviously, I'm looking for the, you know, the hard-charging business associates as well. And I said, well, not really. I said, I'm not telling you to go out there and find those people. I said, I think you're going to find them by accident, but I think you ought to go out and approach people from a perspective of, you know, being consumers. When you talk to people one-on-one and you do, you know, some of your marketing, you want to do that. Does that mean you stop doing Navigate, handing out your cards? Of course not. Your cards are a great piece of the puzzle as well, because a lot of those people, they may not end up being business builders, but they may, especially sharing the Nutrivirus DVD, they may just want to take the products. It's just another way to get consumers as well as potential business builders. So they're just, it's just not the key emphasis of our business today, you know, and to me, I love it, because the reality is if 97% of the people are going to end up just being consumers, why are we fighting so hard to find business builders only to get our heads knocked up against the wall and feeling like we can't do this as a business or we're not effective at it? We will find business builders, and I think a lot of them will come out of your consumer base. But so that's kind of Kim's premise. She's saying, you know, if you can go out there and find 100 customers in 100 days, how much will you make? And she shows the numbers. And you and I both know the numbers on Nutrivirus. If I go out and find 100 customers, and the only thing they do is take Nutrivirus, so their average order is, let's say, $60. If I find 100, I'm going to be making $1,200 a month. Now, my question to all of you in this call today is, how many of you are making $1,200 a month with Manatech? And how many would that make a difference in your life if you had made $1,200 a month in your Manatech business? Of course it would. It's great. And I'll go one step further with it. I said, now if you make $1,200 a month, now you set up a great referral program, so you help those 100 customers that you've gotten to get their products for free. Now how much will you be making? You'll be making almost $5,000 a month, because the first 100 are going to get their products for free, but the 400 they brought in to add that volume, you're going to be making 20% off of. So now you're going to be making four times as much, or almost $5,000 monthly. Now, does that make a difference in your life? And I still haven't mentioned business builder, have I? So what fun it is to just go out there and really get people started on these products. So let's talk about what Kim has to offer us today, because we've got a lot of material to go over in a short period of time. And what Kim talks about, of course, she brings up, and she the whole, you know, basically the whole probably first 75% of her book is all based on setting you up, laying the foundation for 100 customers, 100 days. And she said there are four agreements and three scripts. So let's look at that. The first agreement, and you can follow, the first agreement, I gave her a quote. First agreement preserved her self-esteem. The second made sure I didn't lose the few good prospects by mistake. And third popped open the minds of the ones who would buy. And the fourth guaranteed me wild success. Okay, so those are four agreements I think we all would like to know. All right, so let's start with the first one. Let go of the 9 in 10 who won't buy. Now, this is really about, you know, handling rejection, as some of you might say, right? It's about, if you understand the odds of buying, and Seth Godin, who's written a couple of books, I've read a couple of his things, most people can't buy your product. Either they don't have the money, they don't have the time, or they don't want it. Now, there's three things, and he says most, so that means more than 50%. So if you look like the statistics, then when you guys go out there and you get one out of three people buy your products from you, you can be ecstatic because you're statistically above the average, you know? You already kind of know that at least 50% of people aren't going to want to buy your product because most people won't buy your product. Kim kind of puts it in two different groups. She has a type 1 and a type 2, and she says, you know, there's the people who don't buy, type 1, the concept of buying a nutritional, it's not even on their radar. In other words, people make decisions to do something when they have something listed on their change list, right? We all have things that we want to improve in our lives. Like some of us want to improve our body weight, so we have it on our change list, right? Yeah, we have on our change list, we want to get healthier. That's us because all the people on this call have already decided to be healthier because you're taking Manitech products. So I know that that's on your change list. You always are in the arena of being healthy. But, you know, but if people don't have health on their change list, and what would cause them not to have health on their change list? Because it's the hierarchy of needs, right? Something might be more important to them because they have greater needs than health as they view it. It's their belief system and their perception of life, not yours. Now, some of you have been trained and taught how to overcome their perception and change their perception. How's that working for you? Anyone want to share that? Did you ever find yourself talking to a prospect and try to beat him up to make him believe that he really wants to make a difference in his health? I don't know about you guys, but if you got to share on this call, I bet you a lot of you guys would say, oh, I've been through that, Mary Jo. And you might be successful once in a while. Then some of you can say, hallelujah, praise God, I finally convinced this person to get on the product. And then some of those people that you convinced, what happened? 3 months later, they stopped taking the products because it wasn't on their change list. It was on your change list, and they like you so much, they just decided they didn't want to make you unhappy, so they decided to make the change. So we end up trying to invest a lot of time and energy around getting people to change and changing people's need lists and their hierarchy of needs. Sometimes we can be effective, but not very often. So wouldn't it be better if we found people that had it on their change list and really were going to make a difference? And that's what she's aiming this whole program at, those people. The second type of people that don't buy from you are the people that still have it on their vent list. In other words, they're the ones that love to complain about how heavy they are, but they're never going to do anything about it. They won't exercise, they won't change their diet, but they complain about their health, right? And they like to vent. So they don't have it on their change list, right? They don't have it on a change list. They have it on they have it on what we call the vent list. They like to vent about it, okay? So change lists are people that are willing to take action. Those are typically the ones you get done. People that don't even have it on a change list or any list aren't going to get done, and the people that have it on their vent list are just going to love to complain about it. So you want to get people who have it clearly on their change list, and there's a way to make that happen, and that's what she talks about in her book. Okay, so first agreement, let go of the 9 and 10 who won't buy. Second agreement you make, no more seller talk. And there are three signs of seller talk. She says, number one, you speak in generalities. In other words, you make statements that really no one in particular really responds to. I have health and wellness products. People go, so what, right? I mean, kind of big deal. We make these generalized statements, so you want to stay away from generalities, okay? So look at what words you're using in your approach and saying, wow, does that qualify as a generality or what? Number two, technobabble. And are we terrific? Man, when she said technobabble, I said, that's us. That's Manitech. We love technobabble. We love to talk about the science of glycobiology, blah, 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 on and on and on about all our, you know, nutraceuticals, our cellular communication, the glycosylation on the outside of the cell surface, and oh, blah, 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 right? We call that technobabble. How many customers would go into a store and say, I'd like to get some saccharides to help the glycosylation on the outside of my cell walls? If that's not what they're going to go in and ask advice about, then why are we overwhelming them with that information? Are there going to be one in maybe 50 that really want to know all about that? Yes, and they're called the analysts, or they're also called the C quadrant. When we learn the DISC at Manifest, that's your C quadrant. They might want to know that. But the DIS could care less. So here you're getting technobabble out there, and people just don't even, I mean, you just overwhelm them, and that's called seller talk. And it sounds like you're trying to be smart to try to influence them because you're trying to put something on their change list that they don't have on their change list, right? So that's what technobabble is. So you can look at that and say, wow, I wasted my breath a lot on a lot of technobabble. The third one that tells you it's seller talk is hype. Like, making unbelievable claims that sound inflated, excessive, or extravagant, you know, because you make money off of something, a lot of your statements will become hype even though you don't even think they're hype. I have so much more energy now that I take these products. Well, that becomes a little hypey because you're making money off of it. If they didn't know you were making money off of it, then it wouldn't be very hypey, would it? No. But you have to be careful, and that's why she calls it seller talk. And she says, so stay away from making promises. In other words, they will prevent cancer. Don't ever make promises. And thank goodness for the Texas AG. They kind of took that terminology out of our vocabulary. Chest beating. In other words, pounding on your chest. This is the best product in the industry. And this one's a tough one today, isn't it? When you have Nutrivirus, you know, I like to talk about our product as being the most complete nutritional, foundational nutritional product in the industry that is 100% natural coming from plant sources. You know, so that, but that's almost a little hypey. So she kind of gave me some insight on maybe how I can rephrase that as well. All of those best words, EST, the highest, the best, the most, all these kind, avoid that kind of languaging because it's salesy. Remember, we're staying away from salesy. Okay, and screaming. Screaming is, and I once in a while I get some of these from people, they send me letters that they're sending out, especially now that I'm training and teaching people on Navigate. You know, I got a lot of people started, and they're getting started on their Navigate, and I tell them to send me an email off of the NEC, and they put one, and they have like 12 exclamation points in it. And I go, you know what? An exclamation point is for emphasis. When you have 12, there's no emphasis. It's all monotone because it's all the same. So stay away from that in the way you write. And, you know, and again, overstatement, screaming is, oh, this is so awesome. You're going to be totally blown away. This is the greatest thing since apple pie. This is a, you know, that's screaming at people. And don't do it. You overwhelm them before you get started. And you're going to find out if you're doing that by just looking at their eyes. Some of these people are glazed over. You know, it's just, and you, when you listen to yourself, you have to say, am I ready to buy or did my eyes glaze over? And use that standard on yourself. Listen to yourself. When you have your languaging and you think you have it down, tape it and listen to it and make your decision. Taping your own presentation is one of the most effective ways to improve how you speak. In fact, I think they tell you to do this in Toastmasters all the time, that you want to improve your speaking ability by taping yourself. All right, so that's the second. The third agreement, lead with your hot button. Now, this should all blow you away. What have we always taught? What have we always taught? Can you guys remember? What do you do when you go out there and you first meet somebody? How many of you have done Natural Selling by Michael Oliver? What does he tell you to do? He tells you to be in discovery, right? He says, ask a lot of questions. Find out what their hot button is. And then you can come up with, you know what, Sarah? You know, I feel your pain around all of this, and I may have an answer for you. If you're interested, I'd love to get together and talk to you about it, right? So you're going to go after their hot. You're trying to find and research their hot button. Well, Kim says, we're not about spending 2.5 hours trying to figure out somebody's hot button. Most people don't tell you the truth anyway. Not that she said that, but it's one of the comments. I think she might have made some comment implying that. But the idea is, you know, forget their hot buttons. And this is all new to me, all new to me. You've heard to learn the hot buttons of prospects and stop it. So lead with yours. In other words, lead with your hot button. What made you so excited about these products? And when you start doing that, you're going to be talking to their name. In other words, what she's saying is, when you start introducing what caused you to be so excited about the products, you're going to be calling the other person's name because you're going to hit, if you hit their hot button, they're all in. And it's going to be, when you go out there and you talk to, you know, the nine people that you don't hit the button, so what? But when you talk to people, you want to be in such an arena that you really hit their hot button because you're speaking their language. So you might have to go through a few more people, but you're not going to be up against spending hours, endless hours, trying to discover what somebody's hot button is. You now have an instant relationship with them, because if they can relate to what your hot button was, boy, you're in like that. They were waiting to find a person just like you. because people will start identifying with you. So if you look at the reality of it, it's about interest groups. Why do people get together in interest groups? Because they have a similarity. They have the same experience. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to take your experience around the products, and you're going to put it out there to be something that could be the same. Now, if your experience around the products was something like you had a rare disorder, then I wouldn't talk it. Well, first of all, we don't want to be non-compliant. But you would talk more in terms of that, you know, you'd talk about more of the symptoms you had and what's no longer true about your life, right? That's the way you'd go, not a specific disease disorder. So that's what you talked about. So how do you lead with your hot button? Well, first of all, find your truth. And I put some of her exercises on the back of the outline so you could actually walk through them, all right? The first exercise had to do with how much money you make and trying to convincing you why consumers are so great. So you can work through those as well and see the dollars that promulgate. If you look at that, there's a page 78 that we copied. It was before and after. It talks about your really what your answer is, what it is, you know. And so you're going to talk about what was my truth. What is my truth that I'm going to be, or my hot button that I'm going to talk about? Before I got to these products, what was my life like? Okay, so find your truth. Go back to why you fell in love with the products. Be honest always. Don't lie about it. Don't make a misrepresentation about something because people can see right through that. Don't project your results onto others. In other words, don't make people have to be like you. It's not a projection of your results. It's like, this is what happened for me. Okay, D is my favorite. Okay, this is my second page of the outline. It's pretend it's your first date. Remember when you went on a first date with somebody? How different we were. We were there trying to impact them. We wanted to make sure that we were looking our best, and we were just, you know, but we weren't overselling ourselves. We weren't hyping ourselves. Think about when you're on a first date. You didn't start talking all about you and oversell yourself, did you? Maybe that's why you didn't have that second date. But what you did is you just were trying to be on your best behavior and kind of just really trying to get to know the person. Get to know him, he's trying to get to know you or whatever. And that's kind of what this is about, being on your first date. And your first languaging is very impressionable languaging. So you don't want it to be hypey, you don't want it to be all about you, you want it to be about contribution, you know, and service or things like that. So this is a concept of pretending, and that's that terminology she uses throughout the rest of her book, because she talks about creating your first date script to go along with being on your first date. And then believe in the power of specific words. That's her fifth criteria, how to lead with your hot button. And why is that one important? Because you and I always want to make it our own. We want to trademark it. We want to make it our own language. We want to somehow, we can perfect it. We can make it better. Well, if you know anything about Kim Claver, she's a genius in network marketing. She's done an awesome job. She's a phenomenal trainer these days, written tons of great books, and been very effective at it, and has helped many, many people achieve incredible results in networking. So that's who Kim Claver is. So I don't know that you want to go against Kim Claver. You might, you know, and I'm not ever telling you you should go and adopt what everybody says per se, but value her knowledge. And don't try to make this your thing. All right, so as we go forward, those are going to be our five criteria. How to lead with your hot button, those five criteria. Find your truth, be honest always, don't project your results onto others, pretend it's your first date. In other words, when you're out there, you want to be on your best behavior. And CE, believe in the power of specific words. So you're going to get scripting, and you're going to memorize it, and you're going to do it over and over and over again until the language comes out naturally for you. So the first thing your prospective customer will hear you say about your product, that's what your first date is. The first thing your prospective customer is going to hear. Go through your remembering steps, okay? So first, what do you want to do? Go through the remember steps. We just talked a little bit about that. Before you started selling Manatech products, where were you? What happened to you after you began using the product or service? What was your favorite fix? It doesn't have to be the most dramatic one, but something that was your favorite fix about the products. Why are you continuing to take the Manatech? What did it do for you? What are the important things that it gave you? It gave you your motivation back. You know, you could have been suffering from depression, right? You just could see all my days were dark. And you want to get into colors and smells and senses because people like to hear those things. They relate to those things. They don't relate very well to generic words. So you could talk about it. Maybe you draft it up. My days were really dark. Or, you know what? 10 years ago, I lost all my motivation. I had no idea what was wrong with me, right? So I didn't even want to move. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't get off the couch. It was like, why am I living? I mean, it was like really dark time for me, right? So you can put those things in there. She says that you can when you talk about your favorite six, you know, that's what did you like best? There might be seven things that have changed in your life. How many of you, when you talk to people, go, oh, my gosh, after I got these products, my hair got thicker, my fingernails got stronger, I no longer had the allergies that I had, you know, I had more endurance, I had more, you go on and on and on, and people are just like, you just vomited all over them. That's why she isolates it to your favorite. One. You talk about one. Favorite fix. What's your favorite fix? Okay? That's hard to do because we don't like to isolate it to one thing. So maybe you're going to sneak a second one in. And I actually drafted my own to give you some idea, so you're going to be able to see those. So you're going to kind of try to sneak one in the back door, and you might be able to do that, and I'll show you how I did that. But you want to isolate your favorite fix, and you want to put in some personal zingers. And this comes into your before part. And what these are just things about yourself that make you more human. She says when you emphasize things that highlight your frailties, people can really relate. That makes you more human. It makes you more likable because people relate to people that have issues or had issues because they all have had issues or continue to have them. So there's something special about being open and honest about some issues you might have had. So, and she calls them zingers, personal, includes frailties or problems. The other thing you want to do is you want to talk about what didn't work for you. And she said, don't say things didn't work. Say seemed not to work. Nothing seemed to work. I started doing this, and it seemed not to work. She likes the word seemed because it's not so hypey and overstated and exaggerated. Nothing worked. Well, that's really that's more drama. You can say, you know, I tried this, and this, and nothing seemingly worked for what was going on for me. And then I came across Manitech, right? Just like I put in here, I changed my diet, took some drugs, started exercising, but it didn't seem to make much difference. Notice that? Very softer, much gentler, just great. Words are very powerful, people, and I think she's hitting the home run ball here with this languaging. If you don't go through this process of going through the remembering steps, those five steps, A, B, C, D, E, to help build your script, you're going to end up falling back into jargon. You're going to fall back into seller talk. And if seller talk's been working for you, then keep doing your seller talk. But this is all about helping you to be more effective in terms of getting people started on Nutriveris or on any of the products that you choose you want to isolate. But Nutriveris would be my choice for many reasons, right? All right, so everybody get that. So we're going to shift a little bit our language. We're going to let go of some of the hypey stuff. We're going to start talking about some real basic. And in fact, I'm even rewriting my reactivation language because of my training this weekend, because this really had a major impact on me. Your market segment, that's your favorite fix, your issue. Your market segment, now some of you go, how could it be my favorite fix? Well, what your market segment is people that relate to you, what you talk about. So when you talk about your favorite fix, if your favorite fix has to do with energy, people, that's going to be your market segment, people who have a lack of energy. Is that a pretty huge fix? Yes. Are there a pretty big market segment out there? Absolutely. So it's your hot button, but it becomes your market segment because that's who the people are going to relate to you. So you can, and she gave some language just like earlier I talked about being depressed. You don't want to say I was depressed. Because that really doesn't, you want languaging more specific. I market a product for people who have lost their motivation and can't seem to get it back, like me. Isn't that cool? Lost their motivation. Or you can talk about being in deep, dark spots where I couldn't even get myself off the couch. That's where I was. I market a product to help people who get like stuck on a couch in the deep, dark places like I did. Right? And you have to end it now. She wants you to add to that, always have that language about like me or what happened to me. So that's language that has to be at the end. That ending is critical. You tie yourself into it, okay? And that's your market segment. And then what do you do on your last statement you make? Is, do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? So you get how it happens. You do go through your process. You do before, what happened after, your favorite fix, add personal zingers in it, and you want to make sure that you put in there something effective. I changed my diet and nothing really worked, if that's what you did. Of course, always be honest. I tried drugs, I tried this, and nothing seemed to work. So you want to add that language in there. And then you want to draft your first script. Now, in the back, I have listed for you, I put in there on attachments. Page 12 is just calculations, and 13 are calculations of money. Page 78, because the paginations are still on the bottom out of her book. Before and after, your favorite fix. Before I started using the product, I was someone who, right? It's got there. Things I tried. You can put, it's optional, but nothing seemed to make a difference. Okay, notice the word seemed, circle that word. That's on page 90. And then on page 107, attached to the outline is the first date scripting formula. I market a product. Why does she say I market a product? Because it takes away all the stuff about you being a salesman. It goes right in the face of, hey, I market a product, right, for someone who... your market segment, whether that's energy loss or it's depression or it's weight loss or whatever it might be that was the reason you got excited about the Manatech products and take them today, like what happened to me, okay? And then you can say, you can talk about your favorite fit, what your life was like, but nothing seemed to make a difference, right? You can add that in there if that's appropriate for you. So then I tried this product, and after so many months, you can talk about what happened. Do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? You get it? That page 107 is big, and in 123 I included afterwards in the outline because that's where you can draft your own final script, okay? So you do your first date scripts. Everybody needs to participate in that. I wrote, at the end of the outline, I put Mary Jo's first date scripts. Here's something that I wrote, okay? My company just, because you can either say, I market a product. In other times when you're talking to people, you can go, my company just introduced a new product that supports people with their fundamental foundational nutrition, all from real food sources. At 42, I started seeing my friends die of breast cancer, get diabetes, and I said, not happening to me. They were doing the same thing I was, working out, eating a good diet, drinking lots of water, but it didn't seem to be enough. I started taking this company's real food technology products, and here I am 15 years later, healthier than I was back then and with energy off the charts. I'm almost 58, take no drugs, and run circles around my 7 grandchildren. Do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like this? So what do you think about that one? You see how much fun that is? It's just fun. That's your long, you have long versions and short versions. But have fun drafting yours. And then redraft it, redraft it, fall in love with it, make sure you love it. And then that becomes your first date script. Critical to have one, critical to fine-tune it. What I'm going to suggest you guys do is that you get together with some people in your organization, maybe go through this call with them and the outline with them, and have fun doing it together so that you build it together and you can use feedback from each other. And you want to see, it should be no more than 45 seconds, your entire one. That's your long draft. No more than 45 seconds. So those of you who like to be long-winded, stop it, because you're going to drown the person. In fact, the one I just gave you, my second one, is kind of just right at the cusp of that. It's just probably about 30 seconds. It's amazing how much you can put in 45 seconds. But you don't want to talk really fast. You want to make sure that you're careful with your language and are not, because it sounds like you're, you know, fast salesman or something, right? And then you want to draft a short version of your script because those are the kind of things you would leave on an answering machine, cold calls, things like that, that you can use really briefly with somebody. You can't get into it real long. You want to have a short one and a long one, both. So develop those for yourself. Is everybody clear on their first date scripts? Is this fun? Any feedback from the audience, you guys? Anyone out there want to contribute? Is this something different than you've done in the past? I can tell you, I don't think I've ever gone out there and told somebody I market a product or my company just came out. I don't think I've ever said that. And so for me, this is going to be new and different, and I am going to have a blast with it because I'm really out there trying to incite people to start on Nutriveris, and that's what I'm trying to find is customers and setting the goal of 100 customers in 100 days. Okay, when someone is interested, they will say one of the following three. So she even gives you follow-up. So let's say you do your script and somebody says, well, what is it, right? How do you answer that? Well, you want to memorize that answer, too. You could, if you're talking about Ambertos or Nutriveris, whatever you're talking about, for me it would be Nutriveris. I would say, well, it's Nutriveris. Have you heard of it? Right? And you could talk about it even though you've been on it. Like you could say, well, Mary Jo, how can you say you've been on it for 15 years? And, well, because I've been on the real food technology behind Nutriveris. So I, in effect, have the results that were gotten by the same patented technology that's in Nutriveris, right? But you don't want to get into all that, you know, what is that, techno babble, right? If it's not necessary to get into all the techno babble. Some of you fall in love with it because you want to be so exacting in all their things. You watch out for techno babble. You know, it's new. If you say, hey, my company just introduced a brand new product, then Nutriveris works, right? You've been on their you know, top-end technology products for years, and this is your experience, and, you know, you had tried other things, but this is the only thing that worked for you, and do you know of anyone who might be interested in a product like that, you know? So that's great. But you could say it's Nutriveris. Have you heard of it? Now, what is their normal response going to be? No, but they haven't heard of it. So then they typically will go on to another question. They'll say, or you could actually, without them going on, pregnant pause, use pregnant pauses here in case they have other questions. But the typical other questions are, will it work for me? And you're going to say, I don't know if this will work. But you don't even have to hear them say that without using this language too. I don't know if this will work for you or not, but what if it does? What if it works for you the way it works for me? Would you like to try it then? Follow me? So you've got the language down and you're going to memorize this and you're going to suggest that. And people, we're so used to saying, oh, we need to give them 17 videos and 4 tapes and whatever else, and they might ask for more information. Typically, when people ask for more information, there are a couple things going on. Number one, they could be analysts and they just really want more information. Or maybe it's not when they hear your testimonial, a lot of people want to take it just based on testimonials. But some people are more careful about what they take today because they're more anxious about what the ingredients are. So that's, I think we have a much higher sensitivity to that today than ever in the past. Because we have more knowledge about junk that's in foodstuffs, right? So we're more concerned about what might be in it, what we might be allergic to, more allergies, there's more like gluten intolerance and things like that people are concerned about. So people are going to want to do more research, and that's fine and dandy. There's also the concept that people ask for more information because they're really not interested in taking the product. And you want to make sure you shuffle between it. You say, you know what, if you're not, you know, watch what they do. Watch their body language. Watch what they do. You'll become more and more proficient as you go forward. Kim suggests that you do the takeaway, that, you know, if they hesitate and get a little crazy with stuff, then you can say, you know what, this is probably not for you. You know, thanks for listening to me. And so you can take it away from them. A lot of times when you do that, they go, no, I really think it might be. I just was thinking about it. And then you get back into it. But now they're defending themselves and wanting to take it. Now they're going to be going after you, which is a much better posturing when they're fighting to get it from you and get more information. That's another great thing to do. You can when you say it may not work for you, you can get more involved in what actually happened to you if you have a gap there. But again, don't get too wordy with this. This is about being concise. The other question that people ask is how much does it cost? And you want to have an answer for that as well. And she suggests you say the following, which makes a lot of sense with Manatech as well. It depends. Let me tell you how it comes. So you can then, which one do you think would be a good start for you? So you could say, it depends. Let me tell you how it comes. If you want to buy Nutriveris just for yourself on a monthly basis, here's the pricing of it. You can get it for X or Y. And I think I put the pricing in the script somewhere in there. So you can talk about that. So or if you want to get it, do you want it more than one member of your family to take it? Because if you want two members of your family, then you can get two of these canisters on a monthly basis. And on automatic order, this is what they cost. If you buy it just a one-time order, it's this price, and you can give them those prices. And, of course, when you do that, you want to make sure that they know that what? that they can get that discount if they put it on automatic order. And you'll see, I think I put some language in it as well. If you look in my scripts at the back, let me see where I put that. If you look at Mary Jo's, what I drafted, you'll see that. I gave you, even drafted some answers, like what is it? It's real food powder called Nutriveris. Have you heard of it? Will it work for me? I don't know if it'll work for you or not, but what if it does? What if it works for you the way it did for me? Would you like to try it then? Okay, pause, and you can talk about more. And then down, how much is it? It depends. Let me tell you how it comes. Notice my languaging. I put, you can buy it monthly for a price of $56.53, which ships automatically, or you can buy it one time for $59.50. The company will stop your auto order by just your calling in. I found it made no sense not to place it on auto order to make sure I got the discount. So you can add language after that that'll highlight to them that because the company has a policy of stopping the automatic order, anytime you just call in, it makes no sense not to get the discounted price. So you want to make it makes no sense for them not to get the discounted price. Get it? And that'll help them purchase the product on automatic order, which is where you want it, because then you don't have to call them every month to get more orders. All right? The other thing that you could also bring up at that time is what? You can notice in my script, not in the outline, but on my script that I drafted at the back, I said, by the way, the company has two more incredible items I'd like to share with you. They have a 6-month money-back guarantee, so you can talk about that, as well as talk about Give for Real. So you have those two additional things that you can tack on when you're talking about how much is it. So these things come in and as part of the close, instead of as part of the lead-in. So you're adding those two little tidbits, which are unbelievable, you know, and notice how I make the comment, now that's the refund, now that's integrity. And when I make the second comment about Give for Real, I go, now that's even more integrity and a huge social consciousness. Are you interested in getting started? Then you just get them started. Follow me? That's easy, easy, easy to do. But got to get that languaging down that makes sense. Draft your own. I haven't fine-tuned mine. I just put it together, I think, late last night and did a little work on it this morning to give you examples, because as I was reading through her book, I kept thinking, oh, man, I better give people some examples of this so that they can really see how it works. So, but you want to draft yours and draft the answers to those three questions, and you'll be set to go. Okay? Anybody have any questions about that? The fourth agreement, okay? Now, we want you to all, wait, let me highlight this to you. She made the comment, she said, make sure you sound like an advisor, not like a salesperson. So when you start, you writing your language, does it sound like you're just giving advice to people, or does it sound hypey or like you're selling? So make sure that you're coming from an advisor perspective instead of a selling perspective, because again, you don't fall into seller talk. So now let's go on to the fourth agreement, okay? We have the first three agreements everybody got. The fourth agreement is this: do it over and over and over again. And what Kim is suggesting here is that you practice your scripts 100 times per week. Use cold leads, whatever. Don't worry about results. Just get yourself used to saying the most effective thing you can to get results. So you want to practice and practice and practice. Practice is what makes perfect in here, people. You want to go over it and over it and over it. You don't want to be out there trying to just say whatever comes to your mind, because you're going to get into bad habits again, get back into the selling language instead of the advisor language. You're going to fall back into that hypey, the seller talk, the techno babble that we so much fall in love with. Let's keep it really simple and easy. You know, there's something so easy about Nutriveris. There's something easy about foundational nutrition. There's something very simple about that. And we don't want to make it really complicated. And it's something everybody can appreciate. So I'm just suggesting that you do that languaging over and over and over again. You really work out your languaging so it's not complicated, so that you're not making it really, really complicated. Now, she said in here, let me see if I wrote down on 182, I was going to read you some language. She says, she just said basically first full day script, she talked about talking about how you approach different people. You do all different kinds of people that you can talk to and practice. And she said, in order to get the great results, what you want to do is you want to use it with, you know, you could do cold calling. You could just get a phone book and just practice on that. But she said you want to practice like 100 times per week until you feel like it becomes part of your regular language. Some of us may only need about one day of practicing, but most of us need a lot of repetitive when we're changing our language. That's why it's important for you to work on that language to make it as effective as you can. How long will it take you to get good? She laughed. She said, well, 1 week to 84 years. Depends on who you are. So, but don't be discouraged. Just get out there and start using it. And the more you use it, the better you're going to get. And, you know, last time I looked, there wasn't a limitation of people out there. So you can start today. And I would even start with people that you're in your own. If you feel like you live in a small community and you want to practice on people that aren't in your small community, then I would tell you to, you know, get on a phone or get some cold leads or practice on people that you know that you are, or people that are already practiced with some other Manatech associates. You know, do it back and forth, and you could do it many times over, all right? So now you've laid the foundation because you have your what? What have you got done? You have your first date script done. You've got your answers to 1, 2, and 3, the three questions that they come up with after you give them your first date script. So you're set with all of that language. So now we look at, it's time to, you know, launch. So again, review your checklist, make sure your date script, and make sure she says that you're madly in love with it. And I'm not madly in love with mine yet, but I'm getting there. So I keep working on it, but it's something that you want to work on until you really get, you're madly in love with it. And again, run it by somebody else, get some feedback. Do you know the movable and interchangeable parts of your scripts? Parts of your scripts. Because some of them are going to be, you know, you're going to shift a little bit from depending on who comes in and whether you have enough time, you might take some things out. So know your movable and interchangeable parts of the scripts. Have you practiced your scripts 100 times for 7 days? Have you memorized your scripts? And the reason why she suggests you memorize your script isn't that you sound like a script, but the idea is that you'll avoid that tendency that you'll want to change it. Because we have a tendency to get out there and overemphasize things. We tend to, especially us, the ones in the I quadrant that have emphasis in the I quadrant, we have this exaggeration thing going on. You know, we talk about the big fish stories. We like to make things sound a lot better than maybe what they really are. We want to quash that excessiveness, because that's the hype category. We want to get rid of seller talk, and we want to get into being advisors. So don't, by memorizing it, you're going to keep away that urge to change it up because it's going to be fixed in your head. Now you go out, the second step is finding your audience. You're going to find your audience by giving your what? Your first date script. Because if you're going to talk about energy and, you know, drug-free and health, or you're going to talk about, you know, I think I did a second one, did I not, on the outline? I might have put something in there about Alzheimer's. I don't know, because... I wrote one up. Let me see. I read you one. My short version. I wrote a different one in my short version. I market a natural product for people who are actively using their minds and feel there's a real risk with their mental faculties, maybe at risk, either due to Alzheimer's in their family, like me. So there goes, remember we talk about like what happened to me? Alzheimer's in their family, like me, or just the overwhelming amount of cognitive disorders today. Do you know of anyone who might like to know about a product like that? Isn't that cool? Cognitive disorder is a big issue today. So that's another one that was in my short version, the short version. So, but you want to make sure that you're adding in there, you got something in there that's going to be your audience. And my audience with that short version, who's my audience going to be? People that are, you know, have an issue with cognitive. Where might I use that short version where I wouldn't use my long version? I might use that around people that are elderly, people that are a little older, elderly. Elderly, of course, as we get older, and I'm approaching 60, now all of a sudden 95 is elderly, right? We know what happens there, but people over the age of 50 might be a great category of people that you would use that kind of language. If you use that language about Alzheimer's or cognitive issues, probably it wouldn't be very effective with a 20-year-old, would it? No. Absolutely. So you got to be aware of what the target group is, too. So you might develop some scripts that are different depending on target groups. And maybe your issue, this is why some of us have, you know, for years haven't been very effective getting young people involved, because our own issues aren't very directed at young people. So, but some people might want to put in there what could be a consumer for young people might be something that has to do with athletics or something. I mean, if some of you had some athletic, you know, you're physically more able and you became, you know, and I now when I run, I'm faster, things like that, or something can be done. That could maybe attract younger people. But know that you know that that script for consumers has to match up. Your audience is going to be who it matches up with. And that's another reason why you don't want to talk about a specific disease condition, because then you're really isolating yourself. Now you're heal, cure, mitigate as well. So stay more general. And you can tell that things like depression is a general thing. Things like energy is huge. People on pharmaceutical drugs, people are worried about that. They're getting too toxic with too many drugs. So that's a big sales point. So three tips to keep them listening is tell them it'll be quick. Say goodbye first. In other words, you want to, if they start doing kind of jazzing around with you and crazy stuff, you can say, hey, you know what, I don't think this is for you. And then there's the Fuller Brushman pause she talks about. Every 15 to 20 seconds, you want to make sure you have a pregnant pause in there. Talking fast and nonstop doesn't work. Remember I told you about being methodical and slow with it? Don't really go out there and speak really quickly. Then Kim went through a bunch of different categories of, you know, where can I find customers? Your warm market. We have family, friends, old high school, college classmates, downline who temporarily have stopped taking the products. You know, when you go first, you reconnect with them and you say, you know, my company is introducing a product for someone who, again, you're getting right back into that script, right? So you can do that. You go back to your first date script. You can go after old customers. And this is kind of fun because a lot of people in my downline I don't know, and we're in the midst of reactivation. So I'm saying, you know, hey, Sarah, this is Mary Jo Hilliker. I'm a Manatech rep and worked with so-and-so. Maybe we met sometime. Do you remember me? And it's like, Ms. Jones, I only have a minute, but I'm calling my old customers because the company is introducing a product, introducing a new product. So there's a new reactivation language for you. Catalog Empire didn't apply to us. Referrals. Notice referral language is already in your script, so those who don't want the product tell you referrals. In other words, what does our language say? Right? What's the last sentence in every one of your scripts? Right? Do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? Do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? So it's almost like that's all you're doing is asking for referrals. What happens is people are saying they want it themselves. But they might even give you a referral. And then you follow up with that, right? And this is what this happened, language referrals. I'm calling you because Aunt Lulu said you might be able to answer a question for me. Do you have a minute? And they might give you a referral. And the question you're going to have is, what is the question they're going to answer? Do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? So you're not asking them if they want the product. You're asking them if they, again, the whole scenario here through Kim Claver's process is asking the question, do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? That's what you're asking, that question. And they'll lead you to other people as well as themselves. And if they have a health issue, so if you talk to people with health issues in your first date script and they ask you, you can pursue conversation with them. Let me ask you first a couple of quick questions. What are you doing for the whatever it is? How is that working for you? How long has it been going on? So you want to pursue this. What are you doing? You're just emphasizing to them about that whatever they're doing isn't working, which is going to help them establish that they want to do something different. That helps with that languaging. She also talked about the cold market, how to do that, the short script, going around to local businesses. I'm a local business owner, and I'm calling every local hair salon to ask them a question. Do you have a minute? Okay? And what is the question you're going to ask? You're going to give them your short script, and you're going to go, do you have any customers, patients, et cetera, who might like to know about a product like that? Right? That's the question you're going to ask. So that's what you're doing. I'm calling all these businesses to ask them a question. Here's a way to hit the cold market. And your question is, at the end, after you do your short script, do you have any customers, patients, who might like to know about a product like that? Neighborhood canvassing, same thing. I'm calling everyone in the neighborhood to ask a simple question. Do you have a few minutes? Or do you have a minute? And they say, yeah. And then you do your script and you go and you ask that question again. right? I'm calling everyone in the neighborhood to ask a question. Lifestyle marketing bump intos are great with the same kind of language, right? You can be talking to somebody who said, you know what, I have a simple question I need to ask you. You know, this is, do you happen to know anyone who might be interested in a product like that? It's great. And she talked about messages, leaving it on phone lines. You can leave it on message machines. You can put it email signatures. She's really hot on email signatures. I've never done that. I know a lot of you have. But some of you are probably that have sent me emails. I look at them, and they're like a page long. She says be very, very concise. She wants it to keep it as short as possible, you know, and something that really has impact as short as possible. Stay away from preaching, proclamations, extra words, complicated language, cutesy phrases, all that. Include a link to your website if you have the customer-friendly website. And we're going to soon have one, right? I mean, that's going to be, you're going to have your own, but right now we have choosereal.com. If you send them there, you want to make sure that you tie them out to you, and that's not possible to do right now unless they input your information. Down the road, you're going to have your own personalized one, so that's going to be a lot better for you to capture your prospects. And so we're excited about what's coming down the pike in that. And then at the end, I just put down, you know, kind of how you know you're going to make money. And you got to look at it, the big picture of this. People is going out and getting 100 customers at $60 produces $6,000 of volume, but you're going to be making $1,200 per month. And if you help them get their 4 referrals so they get their products for free through the 4 free discount program, now you're making almost $5,000 a month. This has got to be a win-win for everybody. Are you all in? Is just my question. And Kim Claver, what a great timing for her program. It's just great to, you know, review it, look through it for yourself, build your scripts, and start going out there and doing it. Because it's just a real value. I loved her idea about us being the ones that are reusing our hot buttons. I love the idea about being so concise, asking questions. Who do you know that might be interested in a product like that? You know, I mean, or do you know anyone who might like to know about a product like that? That's just great language. It's great language. Because most people can go, yeah, what about me? Yeah. Right? Okay, people, that's it. Anyone, comments, questions?
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
I had a question. When you sign up people and you get the, if you're asking, I'm not if you're asking, if you're saying if you get 100 people and you get $1,200 approximately for income, what happens if you put people underneath each other and they start getting...
This is what I'm saying about that. Number one, why are you doing that? Remember, my whole philosophy about finding customers is I'm going to build a centipede. Then I'm going to come back and help them give me referrals so they can get their products for free.
So if I find
100 customers, I'm making $1,200.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You get it? And that's why the second step becomes, and then you help those 100 customers, what? Get referrals so they can get their products for free. Now I'm making $4,800.
Okay, good.
Follow? It makes sense to you. Yeah, so just draw it out. Make it look like a centipede, and then you come back and you get the referral program going for you. You're in like Flint. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
Miss Rudy, when you use the script, is it okay to use, I like this wording here, it's Ambertus Nutrivirus. Or do you recommend just Nutrivirus?
No. I just put both of them there depending on which one you want to be promoting. Right now, I'm doing exclusively Nutrivirus. But
okay.
I don't want people to think that they can't use Ambertus. I mean, you could technically use Plus. What if you were doing weight loss? What if your whole thing is about weight loss? You could say, oh, my product is this natural. When they say, what is it? You can say, oh, my gosh, it's this powder that's called Osaline that is just awesome. You know, I mean, so it could be Osaline. It really needs to tie back to what your script is. What is your favorite, as she calls it, your favorite fix? What fixed your life? Yeah. So, but I think using Ambertus today, we're getting back into the same. You're not taking advantage of the incredible new product, Nutrivirus, and the cost of it. So, I think that my preference would be that I would use Nutrivirus.
All right. So, what you're doing, you're getting back to focus then.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You don't want to go meet this whole thing that Kim Claver is promoting is about one product. It's not about going out there and focusing on the 32 products in Manatech, or six of them or four of them. It really is really isolated focus, and it really continues to tell me and reinforce me what Sam's been saying for over a year now, that the most effective network marketing companies, the ones that are doing the highest and best volume, typically have one really lead product that they work with, so that people don't feel like they have to buy four or five or get educated on four or five products, which is what we've been doing for years, right? So Nutriverse
Mary,
is our product. It fits. Yep.
Thank you.
Mary Jo, this is Mary. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Hey, that part where you're responding to will it work for me,
uh-huh.
I've been saying, you know, I'm not sure how your body is going to work with this, but I do know that your body will benefit because it's real food. So because your body needs real food every day, just like mine, I believe you'll definitely get a benefit. I just don't know what it will be. Energy, I'm not sure what, but that's why it works for me, because it's real food.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think it gets too long. I think it gets into too much mumbo-jumbo. That's my personal impression of it. I mean, I don't think you're wrong, because we don't know what it's going to do in the person's body, right? But when you're following Kim's program, and when she says you become a script, a specific favorite fix of what it did for you. And so when you're talking to somebody else, you're just going, I don't know if it's going to work for you the way it worked for me, right? But mm-hmm. What if it does? Well, wouldn't you want to try it? You know, I mean, it makes it so much more simpler than to go on, well, I don't know if it's going to work for you, but I know one thing for sure. Because it's real food, it's really going to have an impact on your body and make a difference for you. So what that looks like for you, I'm not sure that it's going to be the same as it did. I mean, I don't know. That gets into a lot more mumbo-jumbo. And people don't, if you think about it, if you're the consumer, you don't want to know that it's going to do four other things. You really want to know, is it going to work the way it worked for you? That's what they're asking. And so let's answer the question they're asking. Got it?
Okay.
You get it?
Yeah.
I think I think when you tell them that, oh my gosh, it's going to do whatever it does, I know it's going to do great stuff in your body because it's real food. I think we sound real salesy then. And I don't want to be sales. I'm kind of an advisor. I'm saying, hey, I don't know if it's going to work for you or not, but you know what? If it does work for you the way it did for me, wouldn't you want to try it? To me, that's much, it's concise and really tight. And you know what? Let me tell you something else. If they try it, okay, based on what my experience was, which is why they should try it, then what happens if they call me back and they go, you know what, Mary Jo, I haven't noticed a difference with my asthma like you were talking about, but my gosh, my energy level's off the charts. I'm like, oh, great. And I said, now let me tell you, you know, this is why you're feeling that way. So you're going to still benefit from any benefits they see, because they're going to want to stay on the product for any benefit they do see. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I don't think we ever lose somebody if they see a benefit. So I'm not worried about them missing another benefit if they don't happen to see the exact same result I have. Yeah. And you have a lot of time once they get started. Once they get started, what do you have time to do?
Well, follow up with them and work with them and talk with
them. Absolutely. There you go. And the education can be a lot. You can educate them. You can get them on their new nutritional, you know, sites. You can get them on Choose Real. And now all of a sudden they're going to become more educated. They're not just out there trying an isolated product for one specific result, but they started that way because you weren't going to be salesy. You were just telling them your experience. And what if it had the same result for you, right? There you go.
Right.
Yeah. So look at the bigger picture. You're going to have a greater opportunity once you get them started. But if you start muting, if you go out there and you tell people, oh, this is what it did for me, da-da-da-da-da, and then they say, well, will it work for me? And you go, well, I don't know, but if it doesn't, it could do all these other things instead, da-da-da-da-da. Now you've just blown your whole, I think you undercut your own, you know, your own favorite fix in the marketplace. You got it? And you don't have to undercut yourself right out of the box. You want to be really clear with that and allow them to take it and try it. And the beauty of it is if somebody starts balking a little bit, what can you fall back on? You can go, you know what, Sarah, let me tell you, I've got to tell you this incredible piece about Manitech, that they have 100% money-back guarantee for 6 months. So you have nothing to lose to try this for 6 months. And that company has phenomenal integrity. Give every single consumer that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? That to me is like a slam dunk, if you see it balking a little bit. Yeah. Now, that doesn't come out of Kim Claver's book because, you know, other companies don't have that. But I think that's our final coup de grace in terms of closing someone.
That's good.
I'm just saying try it. You know what I mean? Everybody, this is just a different, there's no absolute best way to share Manitech. But when I read through this weekend, people, it turned me on because it was perfect for us going out and getting consumers. I mean, it was like, how do I get consumers? This is great.
Hey, Mary Jo, would you ever mind going through sometime on a call how to help someone achieve their goals with Manitech as far as financial goals and the formula you would use to help them realize the amount of money that they could make attempting to achieve their goals? That's
okay. How about if I do this? Would this benefit you guys? You guys decide. I have now been doing three-way calls for like, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks. We're signing up tons of people through the three-way calls, and I have fine-tuned a patented way of how I present the business opportunity. Would that help?
Sure, that would help.
Okay, because that talks about achieving goals. It talks about what to set and what would you like and how I would define it. Or I could also do, the other thing to do would be to highlight for you guys when I'm training people. You know, like what is the business plan to work off of today? What kind of business plan to achieve those results? What am I looking for? That's another thing that I could go over with you, right?
Yeah, how to help people set their income goals,
mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things I am so weak in, and that's where I need to be helping my new people. I just like fall apart. I can't.
I got it. I got it. And you can't fall. If you fall apart there, they're going to watch you fall apart, and they're going to go, if she can't even help me with this, I'm dead in the water, right?
I know.
And you know what's really hard about it? Let me say, who is this? Who am I listening to?
This is Carrie.
Okay, great. Anyway, Carrie, thanks for bringing this up, because I want to suggest to you, Carrie, that you are not alone. You are amongst literally virtually every associate in the field today, because with this new consumer program, it changes everything. I was in working with Manitech last week saying, you can't use this 18-month incentive program thing anymore because it doesn't apply. And they looked at me and they go, why not? And I go, because people, it's all about four, get four. We're not doing that anymore. You know, we're just not doing that anymore. That's, you know, maybe some of you might still be doing it. I'm not doing it. In fact, I tell people that, you know, you're going to find business builders, most of them are going to come in by accident or as customer conversions, or in the process of finding customers, somebody's going to say, well, you know, I like what you're doing. You're marketing this. Could I do the business as well? Yes. I'm really interested in getting partners in my business. I mean, it's just going to be more of a happenstance, which is really a great way to find business people, right? I mean, we need to train and teach people how to describe what that's going to start looking like, and I can do that for you. So next Monday call, do that. We'll talk about that.
If yes, just simple language to help me take a person in setting their own goals, how many members it would take to reach that goal, because you have the money in your mind. You have the strategy, and you have the money in your mind, and I don't. I don't have that experience of doing this to say, oh, well, you need so many customers to achieve that goal. You know what I'm saying? I need help in helping a person achieve their goals financially and personally.
Yep, got it. No problem. I'll do it. I got it. We'll do that next week. If that'll help everybody, I'm more than happy to do that. Perfect.
It will help me. I know that.
Okay. All right, Carrie. No, I'm sure you're out there amongst a lot of people, and we'll build a couple plans, and I'll even put together some, maybe a couple drawings for you on how you can draw it on a napkin as well, a napkin presentation, as well as, you know, a sheet that you could hand out. Okay?
That would be awesome.
Great. Good. Thanks for the suggestion. I'm sure a lot of people are very excited to hear that from you. All right, guys. Great call. I hope you enjoyed it. I loved Kim Glaver. I just, and some of you probably have been through a training. This is not a new book. This is something that's been out for a lot of years. I think 2003 or something. I don't remember exactly when, but it really hits, it's a home run ball today in a huge way because we're really in the gist of doing, you know, looking out for consumers and trying to get people started on the product. So we just need to draft that script, get out there and start sharing and have a lot of fun with it. All right, everybody. Love you all. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday morning.